anything can happen today.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Anything can happen. Amen. Source on 868. Wings of faith.
Anything else?
There are two chatter chipmunk. You know, he said he wasn't worried about that thing. He knew that eagle knew that he had two God-given wings, that all he had to do was just set those wings. All he had to do was put into action the gift that God had given him. And what he needed to get him out, there was already there.
Yep.
And let me encourage you tonight, what you need, it's already here.
Right.
You just got to set your wings of faith into it. Believe God for total deliverance of whatever it is. It's a that Satan is throwing at you. And I know Satan's throwing stuff at you. I know that.
Right. Sure.
Because you're a Christian and you got a bullseye on your back.
Right.
And he's in trouble and he knows it.
That's right.
Right? He's a sore loser and he knows his time's just about up. Amen?
Amen.
So let me encourage you to do that. We'll ask Brother Daniel if he'll go ahead and go back and get Brother Joel out and have him come out and get ready to come be with us. Minister the word of the Lord. We appreciate our brother coming and he brought his crew with him. Amen. Always love to see those little ones. You know, and I love to see children in church. Amen. When When I was little, I had a grandmother that served God, and she drove me to church left and right. And I don't mean when I was just little bitty. I mean even when I got on up, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, I had to go to church. And we went Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Amen. Brother Perryman was like that. He served God. And so, but I'll tell you, I'm glad that happened. Because I see now how important it was to lay a foundation. And we want to lay a foundation for these little ones. Amen. So, Brother Joel is Pruitt's going to speak for us tonight. And I thought that maybe since Brother Joel, his name being what it is, I thought I might read a scripture that comes out of the book of Joel. I'm going to read it from the book of Acts, but it's referring back to the book of Joel. Amen. And so, just as an introduction to him. Amen. And this is there whenever the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and they said, these guys are drunk. They're on new wine, right? How many knows we can have an experience tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Whatever God's got there. And so Peter stands up and he says, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing right. It is but the third hour of the day.
Right.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet
yes.
Joel.
Amen.
It shall come to pass in the last days. How many believe we're in the last days?
Right.
It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You understand? Everybody in this room is underneath this.
That's right.
I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Amen.
Right? Amen? And so he says, and your sons and your daughters. How many want to believe that?
Amen.
Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Amen. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, or in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's a good scripture to read for tonight. Amen. Because no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, you might have been walking with him for many, many years, or maybe just getting started, it doesn't matter. We're all in need of more of that right there that I just
right.
read. Amen.
Right.
That's what's going to get us through. This word and his spirit to anoint it.
Right.
Amen. So let's all stand. Amen. I had a song picked out I wanted to open with, and I don't remember 831. F, P of F. Amen. We want to lift the name of the Lord.
Tonight, Lord, that Lord, we're not here just to see one another, Lord. Lord, even just the fellowship, although those things are good. But Lord, we've come, Lord, to receive from you tonight. Lord, there's no man that can help these people. But Lord, We know that you're a big God, Lord, and you can use anyone, Lord, to speak anything, Lord, to at any time, Lord, to the person, Lord, that has the biggest need, Lord, in the building tonight. Lord, you're in charge of it all, and I pray, Lord, that this would be a night, Lord, where they wouldn't leave like they came, but Lord, may they leave better here tonight. I pray, Lord, this wouldn't be just another service, Lord, but I pray you would move each one of us out of the way, Lord, and just let your will be done tonight. I pray, Lord, that if there be one backslider in the building, Lord, that you would restore them back to the presence of God here today. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's sick among us, Lord, I know there's many things, Lord, going around, Lord, just little sicknesses and things, but Lord, if there's something, Lord, maybe harder than the doctor could handle here tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would just send out your blessings on the person here tonight, Lord, and heal every disease, every afflicted. I pray, Lord, this would be a night, Lord, of Lord, receiving from you. And I pray, Lord, we would give our praise back to you tonight. Lord, I pray that they would not pull on me, Lord, but they would pull on the gift, Lord, that you placed here tonight. I pray, Lord, that the goodness of God would just move over every person in the building this evening. Lord, I pray you just run after every lost soul, Lord. Even if they're not in the building, Lord, I pray your presence would find them where they are. Move upon them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many's happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Good to be with you again. It's been a little over a year, and I enjoyed being here last time. I appreciate Brother Tony and having me back, and so we just want to thank the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, I'm not going to sing. You know I'm not a singer, don't you? I mean, good to see you, buddy. I'm not a singer. I hadn't got my voice left anyway, and I'll use all I got tonight, I'm sure. Brother Daniel, good to see you, buddy. And always good to see our friends here and Van Buren. And if you have your Bibles, let us turn to Mark chapter 9 and we'll start with verse 17, Mark 9 and 17. How many love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Good to see you, every one of you. Brother Daniel, I think I told you this last time, but I remember the car business and those late nights are sometimes good nights because that means you're probably selling something. But I remember that myself. I did it for 5 years and I just wasn't mad enough to do it. Brother Daniel, I commend him. He's doing it. And he's witnessing to people. He was telling us about that here a few months back, and right. I thought, you know, hey, if you're gonna meet the public every day, you might as well be a witness. And so, it's a good place to do it.
Amen.
Let's just read this here. If I had a title tonight, it would be "Faith Must Have a Resting Place." Faith must have a resting place.
Amen.
And so, Mark chapter 9 and verse 17 says like this: "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth them and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. May the Lord add his blessings to the word. You may be seated. And while you still have your Bibles, James chapter 2 and verse 19, just one verse there, James 2 and 19, says like this. It says, Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. So that's a good thing. The devils also believe and tremble. So we find out a prophet teaches us that believing alone is not enough. How many knows that to be true here tonight? Saying you believe, having an intellectual faith of the gospel is not enough. You can say, I believe Jesus is the Lord with your mouth, but what do you say from your heart? Amen. Many can say, I know Jesus is real, and I know there's a Savior. Amen. There will be many people. I'm sure Brother Daniel's encountered many of them. Yes, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. And yet the works that they do bear witness of what they really are. It doesn't mean that we judge them as they can never be a Christian or judge them and say they can never be saved. That's not what you do at all, because many times many of us were in situations where we couldn't be saved. We were lost and undone. Amen. But look at, you know, what God has done for us now. Amen. So we don't judge a person as they can never be saved. But you can look at them and know by their fruits, you can know what they are. You can know how they're living. And so When they say, I believe in Christ, and yet they don't do what he says to do. Amen. They're believing, but they're not believing from the heart. Can you say amen? Amen. So if you have faith like that, if you have faith in the world, and you say, well, my faith is resting on the fact that my mother was a good woman. And many of us can say amen to that. And or you can say, well, my faith is resting on the fact that I had a good father. Well, that's good. Those are good things. But your family history cannot save you.
Right.
And if your faith is on what you were or what your family name is, amen, that's not going to save you. Because, I mean, Brother Branham could say, you know, once he was born again, I'm no longer the son of Charles and Ella Branham because, amen, his dad was a drunk. And he could look, and if he looked to just his family, amen, he was just another statistic and a drunkard. But he could look to what he could become by the promise of the word. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. So we don't want to look at things and say, well, I think I can make it because my dad was a good man. Amen. That's not how we can make it. Amen. Your dad may be a good man and be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and believe every bit of the message of the hour. Amen. You still must have the same experience that your dad had. I'm just trying to show you things here tonight that you cannot put your faith in. You can believe that your father was a good man. That's good. Amen. You can have faith that they're going to make it. That's also good. Amen. But what about you? Where does your faith rest tonight? See, they had to have an experience with God, and you must have an experience with God. And unless you have that experience, you do not have a place for your faith to rest. So Brother Branham would say it like this. He said, now faith is not based upon the shifting sands of man's idea. So you could say, well, I have an idea how it's supposed to happen. And I have an idea how church is supposed to be run. Amen. But it has to be based on the word. Can you say amen? Amen. Your pastor comes up here, amen, and he's preaching, but his faith is not based on how many people say amen to him. His faith is not even based on how many people show up, but his faith is based on the word that he's going to preach. That the word will work and it will move the people to repentance. Can you say amen? Brother Brandon would say it like this. He said, if I come here and told you that there was an angel of the Lord that was standing in the building and these things are happening, he said, if it didn't have something to prove that to you, you would have a right to doubt that. He said, if I said God gave a gift to do a certain thing and you seen it come right back around and fail, you'd say, well, that's wrong. Can you say amen? He said, but when it comes back and God proves it every time to be perfect, then that's right. God has proved it. Faith has to have a resting place. So when you went to a meeting of Brother Branham, I want you to kind of, I don't know where I'm going with this really tonight, because this has kind of come back to me here. But I, if you went to a meeting of Brother Branham and you saw him standing there, as so many did, I believe it was T.L. Osborne's wife that said, I walked into the auditorium and I saw a God right there. I saw a man that was like Christ himself. And yet, as they would go along, they would see the gift in operation, and they would even say, we believe him to be a prophet. And yet they would go on, and she would wear makeup, and she would cut her hair and wear pants and things like that. So she would say she believed what she saw, but there was no heart faith there to change her life.
Yeah.
Are you with me now?
Right.
So you see, you could even be in a meeting. Being in a meeting of Brother Branham could not save you. It might build your faith, but it would never save you. Many would go to the meeting and leave a critic. Many would go and say, well, that must be telepathy. That must be, you know, that must just be a man standing there and reading the cards or something like that. Amen. But there was somebody would reach out in faith and receive, and then nobody could move their faith off of that. There was a sister back home, I forget her name now, but my brother pastored her before she passed away, and she was there, and I believe it was in Chicago was where the meeting was at, and she was there, and Brother Branham didn't know who she was. She'd never even shaken hands with him, had no idea who he was, and yet Brother Branham could stand there and could tell her and discern her name and where she was from and tell her what was wrong with her, and that woman knew that he didn't know nothing about. See, that was different than the critic. Because the critic could say, well, what about this? What about that? And they weren't receiving this in a personal way. Right. But to the one who received it, she could stand there and say, that must be of God. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. The woman at the well could stand there and she could even say, she could say, well, we know when the Messiah comes, he'll do these things. Yeah. And he said, well, I am he. And then she went into the city and told all the things that she had done. Amen. And she had said that it is not this the Christ. I want you to notice that even the faith that Peter had, the very faith that the church is built upon, the revelation that the church is built upon, had to come from faith in believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Right.
And, And he said, upon this rock, Peter, not upon the name Peter. Brother Brandon deals with that. He says it wasn't on a name because that was carnal. He said you couldn't build a church on a man who could stand there and deny Christ. Brother Branham says that. He says, but you could build it upon the revelation that Peter had. There's something there I want you to get real quick. Amen. He can't build it on your flesh and your own desires and your own failures, but he can build it upon the revelation that is in the heart of the believer. I want you to notice tonight when you look at your flesh and you say, I failed God. I've done all kinds of bad things. You can't put no faith in that. But you can put faith in the Word of God and the work that he's done for you. Because the blood still works and it's still effective here tonight. So I want you to notice that even in Peter, you couldn't put your faith in the man, but you could put it in the revelation that he had. You say, now how do I get that revelation? It comes from the Word. Are you with me here tonight? I hope this isn't making you get off too far. I'm not trying to preach anything deep or anything that's too doctrinal. I just want you to understand faith has got to have a resting place. Faith has got to have something to come back to. Brother Branham talks about it as an absolute. It has to have a place that it can be tied to, a tie post, if you will. And it has got to have something that you can base your faith on. It can't just be based on any man's opinion, because I don't care, even in this church, if we all got together, we'd have different opinions. You can get two or three message churches together and you really get different opinions. You say, well, we all have the same prophet. Yes, but we're all different as far as human beings go. Amen. We do things different. I've been to different churches and they'll run their services different. And that's okay, because the prophet taught us that every church is sovereign. And so but you don't put your faith in that man necessarily. Your pastor, as good a man as he is, amen, he can only take you so far. You must have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Your pastor can point you to him. Brother Brandon can point the people to Christ. Amen. But unless they could look and see and live themselves, amen, then it wouldn't move them. It wouldn't change your lives. I don't know how to get this any better than I've got it right here in my mind. Is if Brother Brandon was standing here tonight and he said, I am God's voice to you, and you said, amen, I believe it. Well, the devil's sitting right next to you and he believes it too. But the voice has got to have an authority over your life. See, the voice didn't come just to call out a bride to say, we're going to be better than the Catholic Church. No, the Catholic Church might outshine you every day of the week. I would say there may be many of them that could outpray you and could say maybe they've got calloused knees from getting on the floor and praying, and maybe they've done all kind of penance and things like that. Amen. There's many things that the Catholic Church could do that might look better than what you do. But your faith is not in the church.
Right.
It is not in what you've done.
Right.
It is not what you will do. But it is in the message of the hour, because that is the revealing of Christ to you.
That's right.
See, the message is not a man.
Right. That's right.
The message, and that's where I believe so many get mistaken on the prophet. They start pointing to the man and they start saying, look at the man, look at the man.
Right.
And you fail to see the message that he brought.
Right.
See, the message that he brought was not the man. He never once stood there and said, look to Brother Branham.
No,
but he stood there and he said, look to Jesus Christ.
Right.
Why? Because it wasn't a son of man revealing a son of man.
Right.
It was a son of man revealing the son of man.
Right.
And if you could get your faith in the son of man, amen, you could look at a son of man and you could say, well, he made mistakes. He was a man. Yes, he was a man. Newsflash, we all are. I'd like you to notice that every prophet in the Bible was a human being. I want you to notice that even Moses himself, amen, didn't go to the promised land because of things that he had to do to stand between the people and be a mediator to the people. I want you to notice men make mistakes, but God makes no mistakes. And this word we can say, I can say with assurance tonight that I have faith in a vindicated word, and I believe it to be a perfect word. You say, well, I don't believe it to be perfect. Well, you're looking at the mistakes of the man and not the message. See, if I come up here and preach, I brought my amen corner with me tonight. If I come up here and preach to you, look to the prophet, look to the man. And I do believe in pointing people to a prophet, by the way. But I don't want to point to the prophet and forget what he was pointing the people to. Amen. I can point you to a prophet and I can tell you, this man right here was God's chosen man for the hour. Amen. I don't want to stand here tonight and lower the office that Brother Branham came in.
Right.
Now, I've got off of my notes a little bit, but this is on my heart. If you'll stay with me, I believe we'll get somewhere. Amen. God did not send the man and the man stand there and point to himself. And we as ministers are not to stand here and say, look what Brother Branham did. He drove a Ford. Come on, somebody.
Come on, that's right.
Look what Brother Branham did. Look, he liked cherry pie. You might not be able to handle it, but you gotta try it at least once because a prophet ate it. I mean, he shot a 270. You gotta shoot a 270. Listen, come on, church. We got to quit following the man and see that Christ was revealed in the message that the man brought.
Right.
And what we've done is, I feel like in myself that I failed sometimes because I can say, Brother Branham said, but this ain't Brother Branham's message. He was standing here and he was entrusted with a message from the King. You say, well, the message, do we do away with the prophet? No, sir. He was a man chosen. Amen. God spoke directly to him and said, don't drink and don't defile your body in any way. Amen. He had a great work to do. Amen. I'm thankful for the work of a prophet. I'll tell you tonight. I love the fact that I have a man that I can follow that would admit his mistakes. He wasn't so big and so high and mighty that he said, look, I didn't make no mistake. You know how many of us try to, you know, we mess up, we say something, well, what I meant to do or what. No, Brother Branham could stand in the pulpit and say, I lied and made my wife lie.
Yeah. Right.
Welcome to church.
Right.
I lied to make my wife lie. He recognized his humanity. He never elevated himself to God's status.
Right, right, right. Yes, sir.
And think about that. We are under our messenger. So far be it for me to ever elevate myself to God's status.
Right, right.
But God uses men full of mistakes. Sure, but we don't put our faith in the man.
No. Right.
Because many men will fail you, and if you raise them up too high, God will let them fall just to see where your faith is.
That's right.
That's what he said.
Right, man. Right.
The people that believed in Moses, many of them, I want you to notice that when God brought them out of the wilderness, or out of Egypt, rather, into the wilderness, God used a man to bring them out. Now, they didn't see the vindications that Moses saw. They weren't there when Moses talked to the bush. They weren't there. Think about it. They had to have faith in the man that he was following God.
Right. Right.
So tonight I can have faith in a prophet because I didn't see everything he saw.
Right.
I've seen enough to know that it was right, but I haven't seen everything he saw.
Right.
I didn't come here tonight. I don't know where I'm going with this at all. My notes are, I'm so far off right now. I really don't know where I'm going at all. But I'm here to tell you that our faith, if it's alone in a prophet, then that faith will fail.
That's right.
Right.
But if the faith is in the Word, God cannot fail. And His Word, which is Christ, cannot fail. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So if God was the Word, and He is the Word, He always will be the Word, then there's one thing that can't fail you. That is the Word.
Yes, sir.
Because God can't fail. I want you to go with me down here. Brother Randall says this right here. He said, the only solid resting place for faith is on God's Word. God's Word is a solid rock. Can you say amen? Of any faith that anybody wants to have in the supernatural, it must be placed first in the Word of the living God. He said how it's been all through the age, how that when men of old, of all ages, when they would really find the Word of God and could grasp it, faith went into action right away. He said, look at Noah way back in Genesis. He said, when God spoke to Noah that day, the word of God come to Noah and told him to build an ark for the saving of his household. He said, you know, the world stood up right before the antediluvian destruction. It wasn't leaning back like this to bring water. And when God told Noah he was going to send a flood of rain, he said, well, you know, he had critics, but faith doesn't look at the circumstance and what it is. Faith looks to what God says. Faith don't try to reason. Faith just takes it at its face value. Can you say amen?
Yeah,
he said, now there's two different kinds of what we call faith today. He said, I'm sorry to say this to my audience tonight, but I'm real sure of this, that there's too much intellectual faith instead of being heart faith.
Yeah, right.
So tonight I would say that if you can talk people into the message intellectually. I can show them the deep call to the deep, and I can give them the tracks and say, look, we got God sent a prophet, and they can probably see it with their mind, but if they get it in their heart, then there's no YouTube website, and there's nobody going to talk them out of it.
Right. Right. Right.
See, you can, if you can talk somebody into the message, you can talk somebody out of the message.
Right.
But if God gets them into the message, then it's no longer them in the message, but it's the message in them.
Yeah, right.
And so I want you to know tonight, it's not about us just being message believers, but we've got to become one with the word that we believe.
Right.
And when the word that we believe will change our lives, listen, it doesn't change everybody overnight. Amen. But slowly, little by little, you start to claim every promise in the message, and you realize you start to act different, dress different, live different. It don't mean you won't make a mistake.
Right.
It doesn't mean you won't fall down, but you won't stay down.
Right.
Brother Branham would go like this. He said, so many revivals are going across the country. People are claiming to be saved. Great evangelists saying they had so many thousands saved and so forth. And then you go back and find out these people don't stay. They have just an emotion in the meeting and they worked they're worked away. Many people in the meetings raise up and claim healing and walk away more by emotion or more by physic than they do by real divine revelation of the Lord Jesus. And the first little pain strikes them and they give up and say, well, I didn't get my healing. Now, if you really believe that with your heart, 10,000 pains would never make you give up. So if you say, I'm healed, then hold on to the faith that you're healed, no matter what the pain says, no matter what the doctor says, because if God said you're healed, then you're healed. See, if God said, if God has revealed the word to you, it doesn't matter what to believe the sign says. If God has revealed to you the message, none of these things can move you. The elect will not be deceived in this hour. I know there'll be some, amen, that will try to shake your faith. Satan is even a believer, but he can't believe like you believe because he can't believe from the heart. But Satan knows the truth. That's why he's fighting it so hard in this hour. I want you to notice tonight, amen, there's going to be many of you that will struggle because there's going to be attacks against what you believe. Many people are going to come to you and say, to the young ladies, why do you dress the way you dress? There's going to be many come to the brothers and say, why don't you cuss? Why don't you take a social drink? Many people will try to get you to just take a little step in their direction.
Sure.
Many people will say, well, you know, it's organic. You can smoke a little weed. And you can say, well, okay, I guess it wouldn't hurt because, you know, after all, it's a plant. You know, how bad can it be? And then you go that far, and the next thing you know, you can take a little puff of a cigarette. It really ain't that bad. And one little thing will lead to another little thing, and the next thing you know, your faith has been shaken to the core. But if there's really something on the inside, it'll raise up and say, you know what? I'm sick of backsliding. I'm sick of the sin. I'm ready to hold on to the word of God. See, it doesn't mean you'll never do those things. It doesn't mean you'll never make a mistake. It doesn't mean you'll never act like the world. Amen. But there'll be something on the inside that will bring you back to the word. See, the word is not something that, you know, you can have the Holy Ghost. You know, you can have the Holy Ghost, and you can be, and you still have a stinky nature.
Sure.
Who knows that to be true?
Right.
Because you know, whatever, you know, whatever you feed the most is what is going to have your diet. And if you're never feeding on the Word of God, then the Word of God becomes almost weakened in your life. It can be there, but you've let it dry up a little bit, and you're not feeding, you're not watering it, you're not going to church anymore, you're not listening to the message no more. Listen, church, we need to be hearing the tapes.
Sir.
I know so many are saying, well, get the preachers out of the pulpit. No, what the preachers are preaching in the pulpit is the message that you're listening to in your home.
That's right.
But if you're never listening to it in your home, I want to go ahead and tell you something. We got all these people, and we need to set the preachers down and listen to tapes. What they need to do is start playing them in their homes again.
Come on.
Brother Joel, are you guilty? Absolutely. I think every one of us need to put the message back at the forefront again and let our children know what we believe is not just what they've heard in church, but what they've lived in the home.
Right.
See, and it's not about lifting up the tape and making it great, but it's about the word that is coming off the tape.
That's right.
See, that tape can't save you.
Right.
Amen. No more than this Bible in its written form can save you. But if the word ever comes off the page and comes into the heart of a person, then it'll hold them till the day of their redemption.
Right.
Because the word is powerful.
Right.
Everybody knows that to be true here tonight. I'm not preaching anything to you don't already know. And I wish I could get off my notes a little more here, but I want to get this to you just as hard as I can tonight because I really believe that where Satan is fighting the people today is their faith.
Sure. Yeah. That's right.
He wants you to be sick. He wants you to be down. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to be confused. Satan is the author of confusion.
Right. Yeah.
Satan wants you to be like, well, that preacher said he'll point out every mistake the pastor ever makes. Because he wants to get your eye on the pastor instead of the word.
Right.
He'll point out every mistake the song leader ever makes. He'll point out every mistake Brother Daniel ever makes. If Brother Daniel ever made a mistake, everybody would know about it. Why? Because Satan will magnify that mistake in a ministry.
Right.
Because he wants the people's faith to be shaken. But my faith ain't in Brother Daniel. I like Brother Daniel. I believe he's a man of God. But my faith is not in Brother Daniel.
Right.
See, I could fail you. Brother Daniel could fail you. If your faith is in a man, then you're going to fail. But if you can get your faith in the Word of God, then all the devils in hell can never shake you. Amen. He said, upon this rock, Peter, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Doesn't mean the gates of hell won't be against you. They will be against you. But they will not prevail against revelation. See, this revelation is not just... Brother Rem talks about divine revelation. He said many people in the meeting raise up and claim, and he said more by psychic than they do real divine revelation of the Lord Jesus. And the first little pain, they say, I didn't get my healing. Brother Rem goes on like this. He said, now, he talks about Noah. He said, now, Noah, he moved with fear. That's a godly fear. He wasn't scared that God was going to hurt him, but he knew that he had a job to do, and he had to do it. His faith rested upon God's eternal word, Brother Branham said. No matter how much the people said it can't be done, no matter how much science combed the globe and said there'll never be clouds up there, there's no rain come down. If God's word said it's going to rain, it's up to God to make a way for the rain. Are you with me tonight? If God says so, that settles it. If God's word said it, let's just believe it. If God said it, let's not take anybody else's opinion for it. Let's believe what he said. That's why Brother Branham said, stay with that tape teaching. Listen, he never said, when I'm gone, you know, there'll be many raised up that'll have more revelation. No, sir. If God wanted more revelation to be revealed while a prophet was here, it would have been done while he was here. He doesn't have to bring a man back to do that. And he won't bring a man back to do that.
That's right.
His ministry was completed while he was here on earth.
That's it.
Moses did not come back once they got across Jordan. Jesus did not have to come back in his physical form time and time again to reveal things to the people. The Spirit is here to reveal the revelation that you have need of.
Right.
Brother Branham would say it like this. He said, his faith rested upon God's eternal word. No matter how much the people said it can't be done, no matter how much science combed the globe and said there'll never be clouds, God's word said it's going to rain. How many believes that here tonight? Amen. So he said, that's what we ought to do. He said, this little group in here ought to do tonight. Take God just for what he says. Don't make no difference how it looks. Don't reason it. If you've only got intellectual faith, you'll reason God's word. You'll try to reason it. Now, he said, let me see. Now, the doctor said, I can't get well. And if the doctor said so, that ought to settle it. He said, that's the reason. Faith don't reason. Faith believes it anyhow. See, whose report are you going to believe anyway? Is it the doctor's report or is it the report of the Lord? I say, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Because, you know, this world is full of gloom and doom. This world is full of all kinds of, you're not going to make it. The devil's, I had pneumonia about a week ago, and I'm just getting over it. Just excuse me tonight. Brother Tony said, we're home, folk. You can cough. All right. Well, I did. I got one out. Maybe I can make it three. Amen. So, you know, you think about it like this. Amen. We get so shaken. Amen. This age is an age of neurotics. The prophet teaches us that, doesn't he? Amen. He teaches this is an age of just out of control. People are just, they're fearful. They're anxious. The anxiety is through the roof. And it's so common now to find people who are anxious. And yet they can't take simple faith. Because they need it to be explained to them. Depression is so real. And I know Brother Daniel's probably done it as well. But I've stood in prayer lines where it seems like every other person is depressed or anxious or things like that. I know many of you ministers, you've heard people come up for prayer. And it seems like it's the thing, especially in a youth camp. And I noticed this past year I've been to two of them. And both of them, the people were coming in, I don't know if I'm good enough to make it. What are we preaching to the kids? You got to be good enough. You're never going to be good enough. But he's good enough. Are we pointing him to Calvary that the cross still works?
Amen.
You see, we've separated the cross and the message
and we've made, well, the cross is a cross of history, but the message is real. The message is revealing that the cross is right.
Wow. Yeah.
The message was here to show you that what Jesus did on earth really happened.
Yeah.
Do you realize that out of all the people in the earth today, many of us can say we're the only ones that know it happened because we've seen the revealing of it. Right. Think about it.
Right.
You think about it. I don't think I could be a good Baptist. I don't think I'd be a good Baptist. I'll tell you why. Because a good Baptist has got to believe that their church is right. A good Catholic has got to believe every bit of faith they have is in the Pope.
Yeah.
That the Pope is right.
Yeah.
And one Pope can change, the next Pope can change, and the whole group's got to change to believe the Pope.
Yeah.
And all we've got to do is take God at His word. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Joel? It's so simple.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was, Jesus Christ is, Jesus Christ always will be. His word never changes, and it never will. It's a simple thing to believe this message. Why make it so complicated? Faith in the word of God will hold you.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not good enough, Brother Joel, and I can't seem to live this message. Well, I'm going to tell you that what the devil wants you to do is give up and go away and be like, well, I couldn't live it, so I'm just going to go out in the world because, you know, I believe it, but I can't live it. Quit trying to live it.
Right.
Let the message live through you.
That's right.
See, we've got so many people trying to be legalistic about this thing. You know, we start separating groups over who celebrates Christmas or who don't. I want you to know, if that's what keeps people in or out, I know a whole lot of people that are going both places.
Right.
We've let those things, little bitty things, we've let them divide us, and we start fighting over these little things like that, and we forget our young people are sitting there fighting real devils. We're over here fighting about who's right and who's wrong over some little minor thing, or this church didn't do it right and this church didn't do it right. Come on, church. And in the midst of it all, the fallout is coming from our young people. They need to see faith in the parents. They need to see faith in the pulpit. They need to see faith again in the church. Amen. If a parent don't have faith enough to go to church, how do you expect the children to ever go to church? You say, well, Brother Joel, you told us to start this thing. You can't go in on your parents' faith. No, but they're watching you. And you're an example. And I believe that Brother Branham made the statement that there's a 90% better chance that if you raise them right, they'll stay in the house of God. You do with that what you will, but I'll say it like this. I do not believe that if you go against the word of God as a parent, then it's going to be easy for your children. It's not easy anyway.
Right.
But what you're doing is just making a hard life harder.
I've
got myself to meddling. I don't even know where I'm at now, Brother Tony. But what I'm trying to tell you here tonight, I don't know you all that well, so I'm just going to preach, okay?
Amen.
I just want to get this off my heart. Because faith in how a church is run, and you all, by all accounts, everybody, y'all run a wonderful church here. Amen. And I love the spirit of the people. You guys, it's wonderful. It's easy to preach here. And maybe that's why I'm getting off my nose so bad. But y'all are easy to preach to. I want to tell you something. Don't ever lose that. Don't be a church that sits there and you're so critical. And you're so bound up. And, you know, then you got, I've been in a church one time where it seemed like one side of the church wouldn't amen when the other side did because they had so many personal battles going on in the church. Listen, church, lay down those things for the sake of the church. For the sake of the people in the church. For the sake of one another. Quit fighting one another and come together under the unity of the word of God. You may not see it exactly the same, but you can both say, I believe the word of the hour. I may not see it like you see it. You don't have to see it like I do. I want you to notice that out of all the disciples standing there, the one with revelation was Peter. Does that mean the rest of them were no good? No, they were still chosen by Jesus. But revelation can come at different stages in life. Maybe one person will see something. I remember the first time I saw the opening of the word in the third pole. When I first saw that, so many people had seen that for years before I ever saw it. But when I saw it, it excited me. And I started wanting to tell people, look at this, you know, it's new. Well, everybody else had apparently already knew it. But, you know, it excites you to get revelation. But had I had that before and wouldn't have known what to do with it, maybe I would have went against it. But instead, God revealed it to me in the time and the season that He knew I needed it.
Right.
You say, why does that work that way? I don't know why God does what he does, but I believe that he's doing it for our good.
That's right.
I don't know why God let me do the things I did and why he let me take the roads that I took in life, but he did it for my good.
Yeah.
See, as a Christian, many times we would like everybody else to take the same path as that we took because we're like, well, it obviously worked.
Yeah.
You know, look at me.
Right.
You know,
right.
I made it.
Right.
Come on, church. Anybody else? I made it. Look at my path. Look how I came through the message. I made it. And somebody else is over there struggling. You're like, I wish they'd just listen to me. Well, they're taking the path that God has got them on. See, God won't lose one of his.
Right. Right.
But let's not be stumbling blocks to them.
Right.
Let's not be a stumbling block to somebody who's learning to walk by faith.
Right.
You may be learning to walk by faith and you're falling down because your son or your daughter, Brother Daniel, I'm sure you got grandkids now, don't you? See, that hair is going to turn gray real soon. But them kids, I don't even know how old they are, but when they're old enough to walk, barely walk, they're going to fall down.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Daniel's not going to look at that and be like, send that thing back because he can't walk.
No,
no, he's going to get the camera out and be like, hey, they took a step.
Right.
Why are we that way in church?
Come on.
You ever think about it? We got a new Christian. They messed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so they messed up. Give them some grace. Yeah. They might still be a baby.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Give them some grace. Because just because they're not where you are doesn't mean they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Come on, church.
Right.
Just because somebody made a mistake that you don't approve of and maybe it was really bad, that don't mean they're serpent seed.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
We've put too many people out because of what we think.
Right.
When our thoughts don't really mean that much to God anyway.
That's right.
Because God knew the beginning. God knew when they'd fall down.
That's
God
right.
knew when they'd be able to walk.
Right.
God knew when they'd be able to stand and run.
Yes.
God knows the steps of the righteous man.
Right.
Many times, I would say that even a wise man might fall down.
Sure.
But that's part of growing, right?
That's right?
And you see a church, you say, well, we're a mature church. Well, that's not always a good thing because sometimes a mature church is not a growing church.
Uh-huh.
A growing church sometimes has babies in it.
That's right.
And those babies got to learn to walk too.
That's right.
The babies got to learn, you know, hey, I made a mistake. I didn't listen to dad and mom. Mm-hmm. But you know what they'll do? Many times, I know I did this myself, I realized, hey, they were right. Good, godly counsel is important.
That's right.
Having them in church is important. You know, when you get to a point, be like, well, I don't know the way. Well, maybe you don't know the way down this path because you haven't been spending any time in the house of God. The preacher's been preaching about it. God's been laying it on his heart to preach exactly what you need. But if you wasn't there to hear it, that's not on the preacher.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That part was free. I don't know.
That's all right.
I know, you know, everybody goes to church and that's good. But you know, there's so many people. I would say this. As young people, make that a priority. Don't make your job a priority. Make your church a priority.
Right.
I'll tell you why. Because you can do a lot of things in life, and you can be a millionaire, you can do all those things, and none of that is going to matter when it gets to the end of the road.
That's right.
But serving God is a beautiful life.
Right.
Serving God is a good thing. Serving God is the least you can do.
Amen.
You know that? Think about it. What he's done for you, the least you can do is worship.
That's true.
The least you can do is praise him.
The
least you can do is show up to church. That's the least you can do. And when you come, don't think this is so hard on me. Think about what he did for you.
Right.
And praise him while you're here. Come on, church. If he shows up, worship him while he's here.
Right.
There's no reason to think, I want to be entertained. It ain't about us being entertained. It's about entertaining him.
Right.
Abraham entertained the angel of the Lord.
That's right.
The angel of the Lord didn't entertain Abraham.
That's right.
We are not to be entertainers, but we are to entertain the one who is always present where two or three are gathered.
Right.
Yes, sir.
See, our faith cannot be in the entertainment of the service.
Uh-huh.
Well, my favorite song leader or my favorite preacher or those things will never hold you.
Right. That's right.
It's not wrong to have those things necessarily, but don't put your faith in them.
Right.
Your favorite preacher can still fail you.
That's right.
Your favorite singer can still fail you. Your favorite musicians can still fail you, but the Word of God will not fail you.
Amen.
It's time we put the preeminence back on Him,
right.
And He is the Word.
Amen.
Brother Bram would say like this, and we'll try not to, I won't hold you all night, I promise I won't. But Brother Bram said like this, Moses' faith did not rest upon what he could do with the biggest army in the world. It didn't rest on what he could do sitting on Pharaoh's throne as a Pharaoh. Think about it.
Right.
He could have emptied Egypt sitting on the throne. But that was not God's provided way for him to get out of there. And the people maybe would have been a bunch of spoiled brats. I hate to say it that way. You think about it. Well, Pharaoh let us go. They would have never had the struggle, and they would have never seen the power of God move to set them free.
Yeah, amen.
So I think about that. When our prophet came, God could have raised up a president. God could have raised up a great man like Oral Roberts or a Billy Graham or even someone greater. Someone that could really have eloquent words. That's even a word. And things like that. God could have raised up someone like that. But he chose a Kentucky hillbilly. Seventh grade education. Couldn't even read the Bible early on himself when he was preaching. Had to have his wife do it. He chose a man so humble that you wouldn't look at the man, but you look at the word that he was bringing. See, God never ordained the man to be the main focus. God ordained the message to be the focus. Come on, church. The sign was not even the main focus. The gift was not even the main focus. We like to witness with those things because it catches the attention of the people. But once the word catches the attention of the people, then it's all settled. Because they can see the sign and walk away.
Amen.
Believe the Sign used to be a website that was pro William Branham.
Yeah, right.
Believe the Sign is now against him. Why? Because all they could see was a sign.
Right.
But
right.
I can see the word, and there's no fault in the word.
That's right. Right. Yes, sir.
Amen. You can say, well, there's mistakes over here, brother. Listen, he was a man.
Right.
We know he was a man.
Yep.
But God makes no mistakes.
That's right.
God didn't use that man to catch the attention of everybody, but he caught the attention of the humble. And so the ones that wouldn't, what would you have to see? What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a man that spoke real well? Did you go out to see a man who had good words and could put a good thought together? No, we didn't go out to hear that kind of man. We went out to see a prophet, but more than a prophet. See, this man did not go out to reveal a great speaker, but he went out to reveal that a living God was still in effect, was still in action today.
Right. Amen. That's right.
God is not using the wise things, but he is using the simple things to confound the wise.
Yeah.
Many people can look at this message and say, well, I wish that he would have proven things a little better. I wish he'd have walked around with his iPhone and got every angle of the cloud. See, there's a reason why God put Brother Branham in the time frame he was in.
Yes, that's right.
Because when the pillar of fire was taken over his head, it couldn't be just a man with an eye. It couldn't have been a bunch of phones in the building.
Right.
Couldn't have been a bunch of video camcorders in the building.
Right.
It had to be something that could be documented by the FBI to where there was no doubt.
Right.
Now, the unbelievers are going to doubt anyway.
Right.
Because you can have physical proof, and they'll still doubt. Brother Brandon could turn his back to the people, tell you where you came from, what your name was, and they can still doubt. Now, there's some people just never going to see it. Are you with me now? But when your faith, when the word came, when the opening of the word came, and think about it. When Brother Brandon was preaching the seven seals, he was preaching these great mystery truths of the Bible, even before the seals. But he started opening all these things to the people. And then well after the seals, he kept opening more and more and more. And the revealing. Listen, he wasn't doing it, but God was revealing him, the things through him. And so he was speaking to him, and then he was speaking to us. And when he was speaking these words to us, when the word went out and caught the elected, there were so few that would stay with that word. So many of them then would walk away. Well, the Pentecostals thought he left. He lost his anointing because he was focusing on the word.
Right.
But they failed to follow the ministry of a prophet that he had turned from that to the opening of the word.
Right.
He
Amen.
Was doing exactly what the Bible said he would do.
Amen.
He couldn't help but do it
because
it wasn't him doing it.
That's right.
So many people today have got this idea that the infallibility of the man is important to preach to the people. I would challenge that on the fact that God never made a man infallible.
That's right. Right. Amen.
Not one time did he ever do that. If a man is infallible, then we have literally replaced God.
Right.
with a man.
Yeah, that's right.
But the word that a prophet speaks, I can say, is infallible. I'll tell you, I've got a quote for that. Brother Branham tells us that the seventh angel messenger, he alone would have the words of infallibility. I also want to tell you that he alone has it, and no other prophet will have it. See, we can take these things and we start making little doctrines within the message. Well, there's another prophet coming, or there's another. Listen, that's what the church was trying to do while he was here. They were trying to say, well, okay, well, Brother Branham's going to pass away. We got to raise up somebody else, and somebody else has got to take his place. No, there was no prophet after him. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries would be finished.
Amen, that's right.
And then there would be a bride that would prophesy again. We are living out what is to happen after that prophet.
Amen.
I want you to notice something. We have put so much on the man that we fail to see the message that followed the man. And so our faith cannot be built on that, but it must have a resting place in the Word of God.
Amen.
Are you still with me tonight? Just give me a few more minutes and we'll get down here. Brother Branham said, he said, no matter how much faith you've got, if you won't use it, it's no good to you.
Right.
What good is the God of Moses if he ain't the same God today?
Right.
And the church said amen.
Amen.
What good is a historical God? You people who go to church and your church only teaches us some historical fact about the Holy Ghost coming back on the day of Pentecost. There is no such a thing today. There was healing back there. What good does that do to you? You can read the Bible. Look what the Lord did then. Look what Jesus did. Look what the apostles did. But excuse me, but if he ain't the same God,
right,
then it don't do you any good.
Yeah.
You've got to have faith in a living God.
Right.
Yes, sir.
It ain't about a God of yesterday. I know what he did, and I'm thankful for what he did. But look what he's still doing.
That's
right here in Van Buren, Arkansas.
Yeah.
When you can see people that have gathered out to the house of God on a Saturday night. They're not here to see one another or be seen.
Amen.
You don't have the biggest church in town, and you don't need the biggest church
in
town.
Right.
Right. Yes, sir.
What you need is the Word.
Amen.
I believe you have it.
Yeah.
But
Amen.
You need faith in that Word.
Amen.
There's so much faith in it that when you come to the house of God, it ain't just another service, but it's the Word being preached.
That's right.
It ought to excite somebody when the Word is being preached.
Yes, hallelujah.
See, it ain't all about emotion, but it's the Word having an effect on the people.
Right. Yeah.
See, when you feed on the Word at home and you come to the house of God and your pastor's preaching what a prophet preached, that ought to excite somebody.
Right.
When you come to the house of God and the pastor starts preaching on something you've been dealing with, that ought to excite somebody. You say he's preaching at me? No. You ought to be thankful that God put it on his heart.
Right.
You say, well, he's meddling. That's his job, actually, by the way.
Right.
You know, Brother Graham talks about that.
Right.
A pastor. My pastor dealt with that recently, and I guess he wanted to make sure people knew that he was a meddler. it's to use the Word to try to help you.
Right.
Your pastor is not up here beating you over the head with the Word. I've watched some of the services. I know he's not up here calling out names, saying, well, you know, if you do better, you do. No, he's not doing that to you.
No.
You've got a good pastor. You ought to thank the Lord for him.
Yeah.
He's preaching the Word to you. If the Word hurts a little bit, that ain't a him problem.
That's right.
Amen.
Are you okay? Now listen, I don't want any of you here to leave tonight thinking I'm beating you over the head with this.
Right.
No. This is not a doom and gloom doctrine. Faith is very positive if you place it in the right place.
Right.
Faith only becomes a problem when you fail to use it in its proper way.
Right.
See, the devil has faith, but he doesn't know how to use his faith. Maybe he does, but he can't. He wasn't predestined to.
That's true.
That's right.
He is doing his job. Let him do his job. But when he comes knocking at your door, it's up to you to cast out that devil.
Amen. That's right.
See, when Satan comes to you and says, well, have you checked this date and this date and this part of the message? Be like, Satan, you're the accuser. I know it's your job, but get behind me, Satan.
That's right.
He has no business on your property.
Amen.
Are you still with me tonight?
Amen.
See, when we let Satan move in and cohabitate with us, it becomes a real problem.
Yes, sir.
Because we start thinking, well, you know, he's not such a bad guy. He cares about me. He wants me to have this thing right. Sure he does. You ever think about what his job is? You know, if he can move in and be like, hey, I'm your buddy. You're lonely. Nobody in the church is talking to you. He'll point out every person in the church that didn't talk to you. They didn't even shake my hand. They took my seat. Think about it.
Yep.
Satan likes to point out all the faults of everybody around you.
Sure.
You ever notice he doesn't point out your faults? Satan don't do that because he's the author of your problem.
Right.
Satan don't want to say, hey, I'm the one that made you fall the other day. I'm the one that caused you to go through that heartache. Satan don't want to do that.
No.
He wants to point out everybody else's failings. Everybody and the preacher and the singer and the song leader, everybody else. But he just don't want you to kick him out because he's comfortable. He's here every service.
Sure.
Sitting on one of these front seats probably.
Sure.
Because he likes to sit in church.
Right.
Because he wants to accuse something I'm saying here tonight.
Right.
He is an accuser, but he's faithful.
Right.
See, Satan's more faithful than most message people.
Sure. Right. Come on.
He's good at his job. He's a good adversary. He really is. He's good at his job.
Yeah.
But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yes,
so even if he's knocked on your door, he has no rights on your property.
That's right.
Your faith is not in fear, but your faith is in the word.
Amen.
And when Jesus cast out Satan using the word, Brother Branham said he was doing that so that every believer, the weakest of Christians, could cast out Satan the same way.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Think about that.
Yep.
Yes.
Jesus could have stood there and cast him out forever. He could have cast him down, beat him over the head, just, you know, kung fu, whatever. He could have done whatever. Jesus could have done whatever he wanted to do.
Sure, right.
And yet he did it in a way so that you could do the same thing he did.
Right. Amen.
The weakest of Christians,
right.
The weakest Christian in the building,
right,
can do exactly what Jesus did.
Yes.
How do you cast him out? The word.
The word.
Right.
Is the word important? Yes, it's the most important thing in your life. Don't walk over the word.
Hallelujah.
But believe the word.
Yeah, that's right.
The word still works. Are you still with me? Amen. If you give me like 10 minutes, I'll quit.
Yeah.
You shut this off and cough. Brother Branham said, what we need today is some real, genuine faith put into action. Yes, sir, we need real faith and men who dare to put God's words to their heart and apply it to themselves. How many believers are here tonight? You try to apply it to the generations gone by, but the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
He's forever God. He never fails. He's the same in principle. He's the same in power.
Hallelujah.
He said he's the same tonight that he was when he walked on the banks of Galilee.
Yeah.
And he appears nightly on this platform and proves himself alive from the dead. You don't have to take any history about it. It's right now, present time fact. We see it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want to say here tonight, we see it, not just with these eyes, but with a spiritual eye in the heart. We see what God has done for us. We see what God's doing for our young people. We see what God's done for the church here.
Right.
You say if we had big numbers, we can see what God's doing. God's not always in numbers. God's in the hearts. God wants to make an individual powerhouse out of somebody here tonight. He wants Brother Daniel to raise up and be a powerhouse.
Amen.
He wants every one of you to raise up with a power. Come on, church.
Yeah, right.
God doesn't care about your little fusses and your fights. He wants you to be so in love with him and so on fire with the word of God. Amen. That you will be a light in a dark world.
Amen. Right.
See, the word is not just to be, it's not just to be laid on a shelf. It's not just to be put in the pulpit. It's not just to be placed on the tape. But it is to be lived through the believer. The tape alone will not save anybody.
No.
The books alone will not save nobody. This Bible, millions read it, and millions can't believe what it says.
That's right.
Millions will tell you, I just believe the Bible, and then they believe in three gods. Many will say, I just believe the Bible, but when you show them God sent a prophet, well, we don't believe that in our church. Come on, church. Do you realize how blessed you are that the Word has been revealed to you? This word is not just about a man, but it is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
I tell you what, we ought to be excited people about it.
Amen.
We have a message that's real, but it's not about the man. It is all about Christ, the Word.
Right.
See, you don't disrespect the man, but you always put the emphasis on the Word.
Yeah.
If you looked at Paul and his failings, just before we close, if you look at Paul and his failings, If you look at the history of Paul, you would never have chosen Paul to be a disciple. And yet he was the only one that was chosen by Christ himself. Excuse me, by God himself in pillar of fire form. He was the only one that was chosen supernaturally by the pillar of fire. Jesus Christ as a man would go and the human flesh would go and he would talk to the fishermen and he would choose men. And yet when it comes to Paul, there is no physical body there, but there's a light that would come to him. And God, who Paul had persecuted, was standing there and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he changes who he is and makes him Paul. And I want you to notice that if you look at the life of Saul and you compare it to the life of Paul, it's almost like two different people.
That's right.
Because God completely washes away the sins of Saul when he becomes Paul. And when you take on the message of the hour and it places you as a son and daughter of God, the new birth has come. You don't have to say, well, look at what I used to do. The devil will show you what you used to do. But he don't even remember him no more.
Amen.
Because you've been changed from what you were to what you are. My faith is not what I've done, but what he did for me. See, Paul's faith could never be in the fact that, listen, I've persecuted Christians and I hope I'm going to make it. No, Paul couldn't make himself anything. Christ came down and changed Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
You couldn't make yourself a Christian, but Christ came down and made you who you are.
That's right.
Are y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
I want you to see this, and I want to close. I don't want to close, but I'm trying to find a good spot. Brother Brandon would say it like this. He said, there's wherever man and woman faith has to be anchored tonight is upon the living word of God.
Right.
You believe that, he said, you can put it in action. So there's got to be an action to your faith. You realize that faith without works is dead.
Right.
But now, your works do not prove your faith. You can do all the works and not have any faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Just like I talked about the devil going to church alone won't save you. Matter of fact, if you're going to church just to be saved, you're going for the wrong reason.
Yes, sir.
Because you say, well, I came to church, I'm hoping I get saved. No, you've got to have faith in the Word.
Yes,
you've got to be born again. You must be born again.
Amen.
Going to church ain't going to save you. It's a good place to start. I believe you must go to church. I don't believe it's optional, not for me. It may be optional for somebody else. For me, it's not optional to go to church. I believe that with all my heart that I must be in church, and I just don't miss church. And that's not because I don't put the people that do, I don't put them in hell for it. And you can't either. But I do believe that if God is in your heart, you will at least have a desire to be there.
That's it.
It doesn't mean that you'll always make it. It doesn't mean, that we're going to sit around and be like, well, they didn't make it every service this year, so they must not be bride. That's not it at all. We talked about the children. We talked about those that are still learning how to walk. I get it. All those things. I want you to notice here tonight, it's not about that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what you have to decide as a mother and a father in this generation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Every young person has got to remember that. Amen. It's not about mama and daddy, but it's about me and my house. We will serve the Lord.
Amen.
This body is a temple, and I will serve him with everything I've got.
Yes, sir. Right. Hallelujah.
Don't let what you've done determine where you're going.
Right.
Because many times if you look at your past failings and mistakes, you'll never get any farther. Brother Branham tells us so simply. He says, if you're looking in the rearview mirror, you'll wreck up.
Sure, that's right.
And you will.
That's
if you're looking back here, if I start looking at what I did all the time, I'll never make any progress moving forward. I believe everyone in this building tonight's a believer. With all my heart, I believe that. Whether you are or not, I believe you are. I believe the pastor would say that too. Listen, we're believing for you. If you're failing and you're struggling, don't give up on God, because God ain't going to give up on you.
That's right.
It ain't time to lay out a church. It's time to get on fire for God. Amen. You say, well, I don't think I'm saved. Then it's time to find an altar again.
Right.
Amen.
Come on, church.
Yeah.
Since y'all got an altar here, you believe in altar calls?
Yeah.
I don't believe in begging and pushing and pulling, but I do believe with all my heart that if it takes an altar, then let it be an altar.
Yes.
Whatever it takes to get right with God, anchor your faith in the Word of God tonight.
Right.
Yes, sir.
You say, I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. We all need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. I feel God every day. I need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Any honest Christian in the building will say, yes, I've got faith. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief.
That's right.
You Yes, I believe. Yes, my faith is anchored. It won't be shaken. It won't be moved by nothing.
Right.
But I want you to know that every day I still need a Savior.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Every day I still have to plead the blood over my life. Every day I have to say, Lord, forgive me. And if you haven't got to the place where you can ask for forgiveness, I say it's time you got there.
Yeah,
you say, I don't ever have to ask for forgiveness. I don't mess up. Then you don't see what kind of wretched man you are.
Yeah,
right.
It don't matter how good you are, church.
That's right.
We need to strive for perfection, right. But not through our flesh.
Right. No, that's right.
Through the word of God that has been presented.
Amen. That's right.
The only perfection there is the blood of Christ. The only perfect thing I know is the Word of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Because He is His Word. He is perfection. I want to say this in closing. Brother Branham says it like this. He said, by faith Enoch was translated, Hebrews 11:5 says this, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen.
But now in verse 6, I want you to notice something. You're saying, well, I want to be perfect like Enoch. And there's going to be a group of people that will take a rapture. But the Bible says it in 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Yes, sir.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yes.
And in verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He went by faith. He went to the mountain with Isaac by faith. But I want you to notice, he went by faith. But the works that Abraham was doing in that moment proved that he really believed God to be God.
Right.
Because no God would take his child. He said, though you gave me this son, you're more than able to raise up another son for me. I want you to notice that Job had that faith. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him.
Right.
If your faith is in God, it don't matter about the shifting sands, but it's still in the Word of God. Brother Branham said it like this, as musicians go ahead and come. The heroes of the Old Testament had faith. They put it in action. You've got them for an example.
Right.
You've got them for an example. Now we've got faith, but now he kind of condemns the people. He says, you won't put it in action. Ride away on the powers of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I want you to know tonight, I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm not here to tell you that you don't have faith. I believe we've all got faith. But it's time we put our faith in action.
Amen.
Do you believe the faith? Do you believe the word?
Amen.
Then, you know, the devil believes also. But the devil ain't even trying. Because he knows he can't make it.
Yeah.
But you know why we're going to make it?
Uh-huh.
Not because our own efforts. But because there's something on the inside of you that won't let you give up. Something on the inside of you. When you started to backslide, you can fall down, but you can't fall away. You can make a mistake, but you can't go too far that the grace of God wasn't there to catch you and bring you back.
Right, sir.
See, His grace is sufficient for us, church.
Yes.
But we need faith in the Word.
Right.
If we'll believe this Word with all of our hearts,
yes,
then God will do the impossible for you.
Amen.
Do you believe with all your hearts tonight? Let's stand to our feet as your pastor comes. I hope this was a help to you tonight. It was on my heart. I want you to know this, that I love you all with the love of the Lord. Amen. It's sure good to be here. Amen. But I do believe with all my heart, every one of us could use a little more faith.
Yes.
Amen.
And if we've got, you know, Brother Branham talked about having more faith, but he also said, sometimes you don't know how much faith you got until you've got to use it. And I think it's time maybe we just start using the faith that we got.
Yes.
Amen. And then we start every day, we take another step of faith. I want you to notice Enoch, you know, you say he was a perfect man and he walked with God all those years. Yes, he did. Amen. But he had faith in God, and that's why he was translated.
Yes.
One of these days, you're going to take a step that you didn't even think was possible
right.
because you was looking at your mistakes. But when you take that final step, you're going to look back and say, I made it.
Amen.
After all this life is over, I made it anyway.
Yes,
I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God who didn't look at my mistakes, but he looked at the sacrifice, and he said, that's more than enough. God bless you tonight. I appreciate you all. God bless you, Brother Tony.
display that faith in. Amen. And then I realize it's not only me, myself, and my own walk. Amen. You know, when this word speaks to you, this week I've been thinking about it. We have our own personal God. You know what? He's that personal to you, to each one of us. You have his full attention. Amen. Every one of you have his full attention. He's with you everywhere you go. You have his full attention there. And that makes him just a personal God to you. He knows what you're going through. He knows exactly how Satan is fighting you and so forth. He knows all those things. And so that makes him a personal God to us. And he wants you to receive him that way. Amen?
Right.
So when you hear the word, when that word speaks to you,
yes,
right? Every one of you might have heard something just a little bit, you know, a different portion of what the brother said tonight might have spoke to each one of you. Right? Different portion.
Right.
But what God wants is for you to hear his voice, how he speaks to you,
yes,
and you'll find that this word coming alive to you specifically. My God is so big. I really enjoy what this brother had to say tonight.
Amen.
Our God is so big that he can express a perfect plan of redemption through people who make mistakes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I know the Lord didn't make a mistake, but other than that, if God didn't do it that way, how did he do it?
Yep,
right? You're here tonight, and you hear the things you hear tonight because fallible people are telling you about a God who's perfect and sent a perfect message,
yes,
to you to draw you out.
Yes.
Amen? And so we believe that. Satan can only use the mistakes if you look at the mistakes.
Come on.
Yes. Right? That's all he has to work with.
Yes.
But what we're just trying to tell you is don't even look at this. God's not looking to the mistakes.
Right.
Yeah? So don't you look at him. Satan can try and do whatever he wants,
yes,
but you look at the word.
Right.
Amen. Look at what God has said and what he has done. Amen. So we appreciate our brother tonight. When you follow that word as God speaks to you, you'll see God do things in your life. You know, speaking about our young people and different ones coming along, we're all at different ages in the Lord. And I'll just say this, that those of you, wherever you are in the Lord, maybe you've been serving God for many years, but one day you weren't where you are now. Right?
Yes, sir.
Always remember that.
Yes.
Right. Amen? I said recently, I believe all of you, right? You're all children of God.
Yeah.
I said, what else you want me to say? You're not? I believe all of you are, right?
Yeah.
The brother said that tonight.
Yeah.
I believe all of you,
yes,
are, right?
Yes.
Because I'm believing for what his word said. Man,
right.
And so when he tells me I can pray for this one and this one and this one, then I believe God's going to do something because I'm praying for it.
Yes.
Right? So why would he tell us that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
and so I'm here lately. I've moved into a different realm that I've never been in before to this degree, and that is to believe God when you don't see nothing that looks like there's anything happening.
Right.
You believe,
yeah,
anyway.
Yes.
And you'll,
right,
find out, you know, God does things in many different ways.
Yes.
And I tell you, you know, I had this problem with my shoulder, and somebody at work had to go through and have surgery, and I had symptoms like he had, and I was trying to do all kinds of things and exercises and all kinds of stuff, trying to fix it, and it wasn't doing any good, and this went on for months, and I tried different things and medical advice, and nothing was working. It was just getting worse. And, you know, I'm like, well, I could go run to a doctor or whatever, but the word's here.
That's right.
Right? I mean, we can go to some alternate satisfaction or whatever, but the word is here.
Yeah.
What are we going to do about this? And so you know what I did? I quit doing the exercises. I quit doing the stretches in the morning they tell me to try to do to make it better because it wasn't doing any better. I quit doing all that, and I just started praying and saying, Lord, I thank you for healing my shoulder.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Right on? Yeah.
Yep.
Look at that.
There you go.
I tell you, I couldn't,
right,
do that. Right? I couldn't even reach over here and do that. I'm just telling you,
hallelujah,
this word works.
Yes,
and so you may have a loved one that's gone stray and may not see anything. You just thank God for saving them. You,
yes,
put,
right,
put them in,
right,
his hands.
Right. Yes.
And if you've got, that's a sickness, right, whatever it is, when you find it in this word, you give it to him.
Amen.
Amen. Right. I'm not, but what I'm about to say is not anything bragging to me or whatever. I'm just to tell you that when I come to the message, You know, Brother Perryman was a Pentecostal preacher, and he gave me the tapes, Brother Brown. And it was through those tapes. I didn't know there was message churches. I didn't know there was message preachers.
Yep.
I didn't know none of that. All I know is that when I started listening to that tape, and this word came alive to me.
Yeah.
I came into the message from the tapes.
Yeah.
Not because, and then later I come into contact with churches and ministers and all that. And I thank God because for some reason he wanted me to come that way. There was a church right here in town and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
He brought me that way. And I'm glad that he did it because I can stand here before Almighty God and tell you this that we believe is in this Bible.
Yes.
It's not a man. It's not something. It is the word that has been made flesh in our day for us. That's the way he brought me. And so that's the way I share it. And so... Yeah, thank God for it.
Right.
Amen. You know, and he mentioned there a little bit about Paul. You know, Paul was a scholar.
Yep.
A scholar of scholars.
Yep.
But when God got a hold of him, God took a lot of those things out of him. But what I want to say is there were things about Paul that God could use.
Yep.
God used that scholarly mind that he had to write the New Testament and to go back into that Bible and bring out the revelation and show that it was right there in the scriptures of the Old Testament. God used that part. And so you give yourself totally, completely to the Lord. And he'll take out of you the things that he can't use.
That's right.
But he'll use, and every one of you have something glorious that he wants his hands on to glorify his name. Amen. And that's all we want. We just want God take away from me whatever you want to take away. I just, whatever I can, I just want to serve you with it. How many feel that way?
Amen.
Amen. How many enjoyed what you heard tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If Brother Tim can help me, let's sing 783. Maybe the key would be somewhere here, 783. Amen. After you hear the word like that, it feels all cleaned out.
Yeah.
All scoured out, as Brother Brent would say. Just you just feel so good being in the presence of the word.
Right.
And you know, it just caused me, I look into his holiness.
Yeah,
it just does something for you. It does something to you.
Yeah.
When I look into your holiness. Oh,
We go to Psalm 842. Amen. Isn't he beautiful?
Isn't he beautiful? Yes, he is.
thing. You know, when you come with expectations, you always get something
results.
Really good. Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Too bad that after a while, and you know, our normal services, maybe we don't come with that kind of expectation. But that's why we have special meetings too. Amen. Just to recreate that lake of fire.
Yes.
Amen. So it's good to have each one of you here. And we're going to dismiss service here in just a moment. But we do have refreshments, food to eat downstairs. Don't leave, because if you do, then there's going to be a lot of food down there that somebody else is going to have to eat. But anyway, we're gonna dismiss in prayer in just a moment. I'm going to ask Brother Daniel if he'd come and dismiss in prayer. Amen. But we certainly want you to stick around and have fellowship downstairs. Amen. God bless each one of you.
Heavenly Father, we love you. We want to thank you for your fellowship tonight, Lord. I ask you to restore our brother, Lord, as he surrendered himself, the gift that you put into his life, Lord. Keep your hand upon him, Lord. And Lord, I ask that your word would not return unto you void, Lord, but it would accomplish what it was sent to be accomplished for tonight, Lord. In every heart, Lord, I ask you that they that claim their healing, that they would have the same faith as those sisters that went through the prayer line of Brother Branham, Lord, and they didn't see any results for about 2 weeks. But the angel of the Lord was watching them. And then at the appropriate time, the healing manifested, Father. And Lord, may that same faith be among us tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We love you tonight. Bless the food we're fixing to eat. Sanctify it, Lord, to the nourishment of our body. Lord, I ask that tonight that every person would have a good night's rest and come with an expectation for the next meal.
Yes.
Lord, we love you so much. We thank you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you.